and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others, I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Politician living on that hill, living in that lap of luxury on We the People's bill. Don't have a clue how the other half lives, and that is a shame. It's time to stop the tyranny you keep pushing through your tries to feed his cattle and sheep on We the People's land. Try and live as a free man. Your body's illegal anymore. Time to stop these thugs from stealing what's been got and down. Calling for a revolution. Clock of a tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we leave them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the global plantation, calling for a revolution.
Again, you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody, and if you would like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of Truth Quest with Melody, they're available at www.gimmesometruth.info or linked from the KHEN.org website. And if you would like to send an email into the program for questions with our guest, our email address is khen.dj@gmail.com, khen.dj@gmail.com. And tonight I've got two special guests, and Dr. Carly is coming back. And before I get started here, the views expressed on this program are those of myself and are my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And again, my guest tonight is Dr. Carly and Patrick Jordan. And Dr. Rebecca Carly received her bachelor's degree at Diagnostic Ultrasound, attended medical school, and received the Samuel Kuntz Award for Clinical Excellence in Surgery at graduation, and trained to be a general surgeon at State University of New York at Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn. She also worked as an attending emergency room physician at Kings County Medical Center in Brooklyn, which is the primary training affiliate of Downstate Students and is the largest hospital and the busiest trauma center in the United States. Dr. Carley left the practice of general surgery and allopathic medicine after realizing that no one was actually being healed of their diseases, and so she started searching alternative medicine while taking time off to start a family. And I will let Dr. Carley go in a little bit further in that. And meanwhile, I'll just say that Patrick Jordan is an independent researcher specializing in meta-analysis. He holds no degrees and is not a doctor and does not give medical advice. Extensive background in multiple industries, world travel, self-study, and academic study allows for a renaissance interpretation of the world that is not biased by the need to regurgitate disinformation in order to obtain degrees or rank. Patrick consumed over 100 scholarly works and 1.7 gigabytes of data to produce just the first in a series of volumes on vaccine-induced disease, also drawing from 30 years of abuses in the medical system causing 30 years of research. Patrick and Dr. Carley, you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Melody. I can barely hear you. Is there any way you can boost the volume to me?
Okay. We always have kind of that problem on this.
Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing you also.
Okay. Is that any better?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
What about you, Patrick? Can you hear better?
Just marginally better.
Oh, boy. I don't know. How's that now?
It's about the same. I can cope with this, and if you just want to continue on with the show, I will do my best, and I'll just have to ask you to repeat if I can't hear.
Okay, do that, because it's almost redlining it here on my end to try to get it boosted that far.
Sure.
Okay, so Dr. Carley, would you like to go ahead and get started and tell the audience as to how you got into doing what you're doing now?
Yes.
And why?
Well, as you mentioned in the bio that's on my website, I actually left surgery because I was seeing that no one was getting better. Actually, there was a lot of things going on at the time. I was working in an institution that was basically conducting research on individuals without their consent. Kings County Hospital is a very large center that has a very poor population. And they were doing operations and all kinds of things on people, basically using them as experimental guinea pigs. So that was one problem. And then there was a problem that they were using these individuals to do research and then were committing research fraud with the data. So that was another problem. And I was just so disturbed by what I was seeing that I eventually left surgery, did take time off to have my son, Joseph, who's now 13 years old. And in the meantime, I was investigating alternative medicine. As it turns out, I didn't know anything about the dangers of vaccines. When I had my son, I got him all of his vaccinations, as I had been brainwashed in medical school that these were a good thing. And I happened to go to a naturopath for some things that I had issues with, of course, never learning the word naturopath or homeopath in medical school. And she gave me some remedies that cured two conditions I was dealing with, and that's when I said to myself, oh, I see why I never learned these words in medical school, because these things actually cure you. And this naturopath happened to mention that there were homeopathic remedies that could reverse vaccine damage. Not knowing that my son was vaccine damaged, but I gave these remedies to my son, he became a different child. That's how I realized that he had been, in fact, neurologically damaged. And that's what started me on this road over 12 years ago. And up until this point now, I have developed a protocol, which I call the Hippocrates Protocol, which reverses vaccine-induced diseases, which include all autoimmune disease, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, and genetic damage in people and in pets. And I've been doing this for some time, and I've seen how the medical mafia, as I call them, responds to somebody like myself. For example, in 2003, it was claimed by the New York State Medical Board that I have a delusion of conspiracy. And even though I had 10 psychologists and psychiatrists examine me and find that I was just fine, they eventually told me that if I did not undergo electroshock therapy, institutionalization, or take psychiatric drugs, that they would take away my license. So I told them they could have my license. I am a teacher now, and so I will also say I don't practice medicine. I do not give medical advice. What I do is teach you what I would do if I was you. And it's amazing how well this works when you allow your body to heal naturally, when you take homeopathic remedies, vitamins, herbs, other supplements to heal the damage, when you get off the toxic drugs, and especially, and most importantly, when you stop vaccinating, that the body can heal from its diseases. And it was a very dark night of the soul, as I call it, when I had this epiphany, realizing that my profession is actually causing all diseases, and the vaccines are one of the main ways they do so. So that's when I decided that I was going to take the gloves off and basically expose Big Pharma, the medical mafia, and what was really going on with that whole situation. It's really gotten into a whole other realm since I met Patrick, and we started working together some time ago, because he is the most outrageous and amazing researcher that I've ever met. And he has come across information that not only backs up what I just said, but also brings it very deep into the areas of how far they've gone and continue to go to cause death and disease with vaccinations, which they promote as a good thing, which are actually instruments of death. And one of the things that we're working very hard at this point on is trying to get people to realize that this swine flu, quote-unquote, is not only a biologically engineered organism, but that the vaccine that they're creating for this is actually going to be what causes the pandemic, as they get ready to unleash this vaccine globally later on this year, and that is going to kill millions of people.
Okay, now, Patrick, would you like to give us a little of your background? And
sure. Basically, it's it parallels Dr. Carley's experience. I was a gung-ho American, you know, pulling for the team. I worked in just about every industry that this country has to offer, and so I've seen everything from agriculture to semiconductor fabrication, and what you find is that in all of these industries, they use chemicals, and my health was destroyed by chemicals. Doctors basically relegated me to the world of psychiatric whatever, just garbage can diagnosis that would never treat the underlying physiological cause. And you can only sustain that kind of stupidity so long before you realize that as a human being, you can go out and search for the answers yourself. And so for the past 30 years, I have been looking for the answers. Now, the problem was is that I was looking for the answers in nature, because I thought there were natural dysfunctions to most people's health, including my own. And I tripped across serum sickness. And serum sickness led me to vaccine-induced diseases. And it wasn't until a year ago that I actually was introduced to Dr. Carley's work. And the second I read her literature, I knew that she was the only person on the planet that actually knew everything that was going on. And I went to Dr. Carley's website, which I encourage everybody to do, www.drcarley.com, and you'll find a picture there that's very disturbing. And if you know my background in heavy metal music and just, you know, nothing really disturbs me, I saw that picture and I was deeply disturbed because I knew what it meant. I knew what that carnage meant being depicted as this picture of the baby with the needles in it. And I said to myself right there, I have to know this woman. I have to get to know what she is about and what she has to say. And she has to be a woman of character, integrity, and intelligence. And don't you know, we've been at this for a year now, and everything that I had uncovered independently, because I never knew of Dr. Carley until last year, has been confirmed by her. Everything she came up with independently has been confirmed by me, and so we know of which we speak.
Well, I guess if you were somebody that had just stepped in and didn't quite understand where you were coming from, I mean, one of the things that really kind of fascinated me about your work is you really went back, way back, into studying how this all began, correct?
Well, and you, my friends in California had a phrase, bring it down to the irreducible prime, as in prime numbers, by which you can't divide anything. You know, that is it. Once you get to that number, you have to stop. And when you peel back the layers, I got back to the 1700s doing, you know, historical retrospectives of medicine, and what we consider to be reductionism in science ended around the 1700s, and all the literature seemed to point to the origins of medicine not being science-based like we are falsely led to believe now, because like Dr. Carley says, there are no cures. Nobody gets better in modern medicine. It's just a prolongation of disease to make profit. So what I saw is the originations of medicine actually began in ancient Babylon around 6,000 years ago, and the roots were in black magic. That's where our medicine came from, and therefore it made perfect sense to me. If this is all about prolongation of pain and suffering, that's the definition of black magic to me.
Yes, and if I could just say, if you listeners go to my website, right at the top of the page, you can see the information on how to order Patrick's unbelievable book that he has finally finished, called ICD-999, Serum Sickness and Vaccine-Induced Diseases. And I'll let him explain the whole ICD-999 thing, because that was such an amazing find just in itself. And you can order his book through the information that's on my website at the top of the page. Please explain to them about this ICD-999 code, Patrick, because that in itself is very revealing as to the fact that the people in charge at the top of the food chain in the medical mafia know exactly what they're doing.
They do. This is like, folks, we are all on the outside of an inside joke. And in my book, in the introduction and the foreword, I basically describe that I was doing research. I actually do hard work. But sometimes things come to me, and it's just serendipity. And since autism does not affect my life, but I knew from studying vaccine-induced diseases that all of the hallmarks of autism had the same representations in what's called multiple chemical sensitivity or chemical allergy. And so I was reading the Burton report on autism, and if you read that report cover to cover, word for word, you find out that these doctors were actually playing games with where can we put these disease descriptions, because they were basically trying to fudge the statistics, just like Dr. Carley said at the beginning of this this talk, that they play with the data. There is no science involved here. It's all black magic and smoke and mirrors. And what they were doing is they were manipulating what's called the ICD, or International Classifications of Diseases, the code numbers. And by the way, folks, you're going to hear a lot about this, hopefully on this show and hopefully in the future. These ICD numbers are put together by the World Health Organization. And at the very end of their code book, the very last part of the code book, is a series called ICD 999, and that's where they use as a garbage can to dump all of the diseases that we would consider vaccine-induced. And I was just overjoyed when I saw that because I didn't have a title for my book at that time. And I decided to call it ICD-999, Vaccine-Induced Diseases, the Chronic Serum Sickness Postulate. Because in my search for the answers to what is naturally wrong with people and what naturally causes illness, I found that nature is hardly involved at all. It's all man-made. And this ICD-999 just fell into my lap because when you understand that serum sickness is induced by vaccines, you can see that what serum sickness causes as a systemic disease is everything that we see today. Kids with diabetes, where does that come from? Is it natural? Have you ever asked your doctor, what is its etiology? You use a big word like that sometime. Where did it come from? Well, that you get the shrug, I don't know. Well, we know because there's another associate of ours, Dr. Patricia Jordan. She's a veterinarian, and together she and I had uncovered metabolic biochemical pathways by which these cascades happen. Just from one shot, folks, that's all it takes. One vaccine is enough to disrupt the system.
So are you saying that initially, even from the very beginning, they had these kind of problems, or did they or know about these problems, or did they find out about them down the road? Or?
Dr. Carley, feel free to interrupt me at any time, but see, this is the thing that I just get so excited and adamant about. I've studied Jenner's original work, okay? Here is the quintessential, and don't forget that he was a Mason. He was a Freemason, okay? So we've got, like, this historical ancient Egyptian mystery school that goes back 5,000 years involved in this plan of disrupting the human genome and health. So Jenner, who was a Freemason, fudged his results. The government was involved because they endowed him for his supposed wonderful work using the cowpox. The government found out that it was a fraud, but they didn't want to lose face by, you know, retracting their position and money, so they just gave him more money. Now, folks, doesn't that sound like modern medicine today? And so I have read his original works, and in it you will actually find a case, I think, don't quote me on this because, folks, I got a lot of data in my head. It's hard to sort out. I think it was the case of Mary Barge. I may be incorrect on that, where she actually expressed allergy from the vaccination. And so what we got is a clear indication of who doesn't have allergies in the United States, okay? That's another hallmark of serum sickness. So from your first vaccine, you get this biological cascade of cellular damage, and it can express itself in any organ. It's like whichever organ system in your body is the weakest will probably be the first to go. That's the very traditional Chinese medicine approach to this. And so from the very beginning, folks, 219 years ago, they knew that vaccines were bad. They knew that vaccines caused more disease than they supposedly protected you against.
Yes, and I would like to also mention that also on my website, you can download a book that was written almost a century ago, actually 1920, by Charles Higgins. And the title of that book is The Horrors of Vaccination Exposed and Illustrated. And when I found that book, and that was another serendipitous finding, and I started reading that book, I was horrified to see that this man had written almost a century ago about what the vaccination that Patrick's talking about that was started by this fraud named Jenner, who was not even a real medical doctor. He bought his medical degree. But what he wrote about what that one vaccination was doing at that time. And now, of course, as everyone knows, they've continued to build on that and develop more and more vaccines. As a matter of fact, it's gotten totally insane at this point They have vaccines that they're putting in food through genetically modifying the food. They have all kinds of vaccinations that they're developing for things like peanut allergies. Peanut allergies are from vaccines. And what did these mad scientists come up with? A vaccine for the vaccine-induced diseases. If it wasn't so evil and if there wasn't so much suffering, this would be like a comedy. But that's what's going on. And I want to just also tell the listeners that the good news is you can do things about this, because both Patrick and I feel very strongly that we don't like to elicit fear. This is knowledge. This is truth that can save your life. But not to scare you to say, oh, my God, I have children with all these diseases. What have I done? I myself was put in that situation. I believed the propaganda. I damaged my own son. But then I learned how to reverse the damage. So there's things that can be done, and that's what I do. How I make a living is to do consults with people. I have clients all over the world, and I develop protocols for them. I don't have to see people in person. I take a history. I find out what the major assaults are, and then I develop a protocol to reverse those assaults. As a matter of fact, on my website, drcarley.com, I have a series of diagrams. The first diagram I call the big picture, and it is the cause of all disease on one sheet of paper. And basically what happens is, as Patrick said, we have a weak link in our body, and that's what you truly inherit. In homeopathy, we call it a miasm, and that is your weak link. And we would all be fine, pretty much, if they would leave us alone and stop polluting us with fluoride and pesticides and all these different poisons, aspartame. There's so many things that have been unleashed on humanity that are causing disease. But vaccines is what gets the ball rolling. The way I discuss it is medicine has become a religion. The doctors are the priests, and the vaccination is the baptismal rite. Because when you really start investigating it, like Patrick and I have, and in his outstanding book, he's got the most amazing timeline going back and showing throughout history how this whole thing has developed to the point that it is now. But when you actually see that and realize that the people behind the scenes, and of course the Rockefellers are highly involved. In fact, in the early 1900s, the Rockefellers pretty much took over medicine by developing something called the Flexner Report, where they went into medical schools and standardized all of them and pretty much transposed everything into a pharmaceutical approach. When I went to medical school in the early 80s, I had 10 hours of nutrition and 2 years of pharmacology, just to give you an indication of the kind of training of doctors today. Doctors have no clue how to cure anything. They have no clue as to what even causes anything. As a matter of fact, one of the things I do for my clients that's always a real eye-opener for them when they're on medications is I go through every medication they're on. I go through all the admitted to side effects. I mean, if any of you even read the side effects that are admitted by the pharmaceutical companies of any drug you're taking, you would never take that drug. And almost every drug actually has listed as one of the side effects the very reason you're taking the drug for. For example, many high blood pressure medications are admitted to cause hypertensive crisis, antidepressants cause depression, et cetera, et cetera. So then you realize how this whole cocktail approach of medical doctors gets started. Because if you're put on a drug and the very symptom that you're taking the drug for gets worse, do they ever consider that it could be a side effect of the drug? Of course not. They add another drug to the cocktail. And this is another one of the main ways, actually, that, of course, the profits to big pharma increases, but also how the sickness gets worse and worse and worse. I've had people that were on as many as 25 drugs at one time, and just getting them off the drugs has an amazing result in their health. And so that is what people have to realize. Now, the other thing I want to bring up, which is very important, and we'll get into this whole swine flu situation as a result of this, is how the government has gotten involved in medicine. I mean, the government pretty much controls doctors now at this point through licensing boards in all the states. If a doctor such as myself did steps out of the box, they will come after you and make up something. In my case, I'd never had a single complaint against me, even when I was a surgeon. So they used a television show I had done, saying I have a delusion of conspiracy, which is pretty funny to me now. Actually, it was very painful going through all this at the time. But, you know, the idea that you can prove everything you're saying, and they call it a delusion, is another thing that Patrick calls opposite day. It's like everything is the opposite of what it appears to be. And that's one of the very important things I want people to realize, is that the doctors who stand up for you, who risk everything to protect their patients, these are the doctors that are losing their licenses. I know many of them. I have a show on republicbroadcasting.org every Saturday called What's Ailing America. I've interviewed various doctors that have had the same types of things happening to them. And so people have to realize is that if you want to go to somebody who actually knows how to heal, you cannot go to a licensed medical doctor, because even if they know the truth, they will not be able to act on it, because they will lose their license if they do. And in fact, as Obama is now trying to push this quote-unquote national health care plan, what's going to happen is that the doctors, I mean, they're basically nothing more than puppets for Big Pharma now. You'll come in, you'll tell them your symptoms, they'll give you a diagnosis. What a diagnosis is just like a name they give a bunch of symptoms. That symptom box and diagnosis will give them a formulary of what drugs they can give. And so they'll write a prescription for one of those drugs, and that's all they can do. And it's really disgusting to me, because as Patrick found in that ICD-999 code, when you actually read that, you realize that that one code includes pretty much all the diseases and vaccines are involved in them. In fact, one of the things that I realized years ago is that the entire field of internal medicine, all of the ologies, oncology, hematology, rheumatology, all of it, it's all vaccine-induced diseases. And this is how they create the diseases, and then you go to the white coat and they give you a prescription, and the prescription oftentimes makes you worse. Or if it does somehow tend to decrease your symptoms, it's never going to cure you. And they have a lifelong customer. And people should really be very leery of this national health care, because they're going to order you to do certain things to have that health coverage. For example, mammograms cause breast cancer. Women will be ordered to have mammograms at whatever time they want you to start. Usually it's age 40, every year thereafter. If a woman age 40 starts getting yearly mammograms, she will get breast cancer, because the breast is one of the most radiosensitive parts of the body. And so that's how it goes. All of these different, quote-unquote, preventive tests that they suggest, things like colonoscopies, where if they don't clean the scopes well enough, you can transmit, for example, hepatitis B from person to person. There's been many cases, a situation in Long Island where I used to live, where 16 people got hepatitis B from their colonoscopy because they never cleaned the colonoscopy unit between patients. I could go on and on and on with these horror stories. So the thing to make people realize is that if you really want to get well, stay well, be well, the most important thing you have to do is do what I've done, what Patrick has done, and what many people are now doing, is learning how to handle things yourself. The doctors do not know anything about health. All they know is about creation of disease. There are natural solutions for everything, and oh, by the way, isn't it amazing that Congress is also simultaneously, as they're trying to rope all of us into this quote-unquote national health care plan, they're also trying to make vitamins and supplements a prescription item through something called Codex Alimentarius. So it gets very obvious that the bad revolving door that's occurring through the pharmaceutical lobbyists in Washington and government officials who are selling us out, committing treason on a daily basis, who are passing laws forcing us or allegedly making us believe that we're forced to get vaccination and things of that nature, doing all of these things for cash, while pretending to be public servants. It's such a very disgusting situation that we have in front of us. But the good news is that people are now waking up in record numbers, and that's what has to happen. We need an evolution of consciousness. where we reach critical mass, where people say to themselves, there's something wrong here, and this is the year that it's happening, because this swine flu virus that they have created in the laboratory, which has human flu, swine flu, and bird flu in it, there's no way that could happen in nature. It has been released into various areas. They've started to document alleged deaths, although we have no way of even, you know, checking up on the numbers that they're giving us. But this is what caused the WHO, and I call them the World Homicide Organization. They declared a pandemic sixth level just a while back, and that was so that they could expedite their vaccine production because they're predicting a second wave of virus causing deaths in people this fall. And the reason they're predicting that is because the vaccine is going to make it happen. I just want to also mention, and then I'll ask Patrick to speak further, about the 1918, quote-unquote, Spanish flu pandemic. That was started from inoculations given to soldiers in World War I. People don't realize that it goes quite far back as to when they were inoculating the military. In World War I was the first war in which this mandatory inoculations of military was occurring. And what they did was they caused the creation of an organism through injection of all kinds of different things into the soldiers. This started to kill the soldiers. They made a vaccination out of the, you know, pathogen that was created, and talked the public into receiving the vaccination, saying that the military is coming home and they're going to be sick, and it's your public duty as an American to get the Spanish flu vaccination. And this is what caused the pandemic back in 1918. This is what killed millions of people, and they're getting ready to do it again.
While you're at it, though, you need to kind of get into the reasons why they would even consider doing such a thing. I mean, there's a method to the madness that's kind of going on, correct?
Yes, well, and this is the hard thing to comprehend, because people with a conscience cannot conceive that such an evil plan could even be, you know, who would come up with this stuff? What human being would come up with a plan to kill millions or possibly billions of people? And that gets back to the origins of what we're talking about, and Patrick can talk more on how this goes back thousands of years, this plan to control humanity and things of that nature. But there's two things I will suggest people do to learn about why they're doing this. One is you can put the words Georgia Guidestones into Google, and you can see stone structures in Albertson, Georgia, where the first thing that they mention in stone is that the population of the world has to be decreased to 500 million. So we have billions of people on the earth. They think it's too much, and they're going to try to kill off the majority, 80 to 90%. The other thing you can do is put Henry Kissinger and Memorandum 200 together into Google, and you can read this document that Henry Kissinger came up with, where he talks about how population reduction is a national security issue. And so that's the reason they're doing this. It's all about population reduction. It's all about control of the population, because one of the things they're going to try to do to the people who are like sheep, who will just do whatever they're told, no matter how deleterious it is to their health, they're also going to be putting chips into the vaccines, and they're going to have ways of tracking people and controlling people's behavior. So that's the reason. It's control, it's decreasing the population, and as they're killing us softly, they're making billions of dollars. It's really a very ingenious plan, but it's straight from hell.
Okay, Patrick?
Okay. I could talk for hours on any single topic that Dr. Carley brought up. Is there anything, Melody, that you would particularly like me to talk about? Because I can go right into the Spanish flu thing.
Go into the Spanish flu then.
Okay. When I was doing independent research, before I even met Dr. Carley, I had developed an understanding of biochemistry and history and realized that there were certain patterns. And that folks, is just basically what that big word meta-analysis means. You take all the facts, you throw them in a bucket, you shake them around, and you look to see what sticks to each other. And around 1915 is when they started using cellular, meaning the whole cell, as in like a cell in your body, pertussis vaccine. And pertussis is just another fancy name for whooping cough. Okay, this is 1915. Well, if you jump to modern times and you read books about antibody production in the laboratory, you find out that one of their favorite things to use is pertussis toxin, because it shuts neutrophils, which are a white blood cell. It shuts them off like a light switch. Just shuts them down. They're completely immobile. Can't do anything. And so when I took modern science, mixed it with a little bit of history, I got this pattern in my mind that, 1915, before the war, they were shutting people's immune systems down. And then, of course, right before they deployed troops into Europe, they gave them, I believe, the typhus vaccine. And there's two key points that people need to know. Number one, if you are confronted with somebody that has a needle, that has something in it from a vial, you have no idea what's in there. It doesn't matter what the label says on that vial. Unless you made that substance yourself, you have no idea what's in it. And I can talk at length on that topic later. The other thing is, folks, you have it in your ability to go to a library or anywhere that there's a physician's desk reference. It's called the PDR. Crack it open sometime and look at any single vaccine. It doesn't matter which one. It will say this product has not been tested for carcinogenicity, mutagenicity, or effects on fertility. That means, and listen up, because I've read Jenner's work, I've been studying this for a long time, they've had 219 years to do any kind of clinical trials that any vaccine that they've ever used would not cause cancer, would not cause a mutation, and would not affect your reproductive health. They've never done it. So that should just be like a hammer in between your eyes. These things are untested poisons. So all vaccines are bad. That's my statement to the world. So what do we got? We got some kind of poison that they gave to the troops before they were deployed, and they gave them another poison while they were being deployed. They were sent into a foreign country being exposed to all sorts of toxic gases, from leucocyte, which is an arsenic-based gas, to polyphosphine or phosgene, which are chlorine and phosphorus-based gases. And this exposure could possibly restart the immune system, restart those neutrophils. And what was happening in 1918 was quite unusual. Young people in the prime of their life were dropping dead from the supposed Spanish flu. Now, how can somebody that's young and has a robust immune system drop over dead? Well, this tripartite delivery system of first you shut the immune system down, then you load them up with a terrible bug, and then you turn the immune system back on is what we now today call the cytokine storm, which is what they're warning people about with these new flus. Oh, there might be a cytokine storm and it could kill you dead. Well, it appears to me that in 1915 they knew this pattern, because here's something amazing, folks. There is a gentleman that calls himself a farmer and a janitor. His name is Joe Spener. He's from Oregon, and he wrote a book called Rockefeller Regionalism, The Shadow Behind Oregon's LCDC. In this book, he had copies of publications, and one of them was the 1972 bulletin of the WHO, the World Health Organization. In that bulletin, there were many articles, but what he published in his book was Memorandum Number 1. And if I knew in 1972 what it took me 30 years to put together, I would have had the answers to everything. My book would have been written in 1972, because the World Health Organization in Memorandum Number 1, and then finally the complete picture was given in Memorandum Number 2, which we can make available to anybody that wants to email us. My email is general, like the rank, general portal, P-O-R-T-A-L, 55 at gmail.com. If you email me, I'll send you all this documentation. The WHO in 1972 said something frightening. Now, I had come up independently with this idea of first you turn off the immune system, you load them up with microbes, and then you turn it back on. Folks, Memorandum Number 1 and Number 2 outlined that very thing in 1972. And so when we speak, it's from references, not from some conspiracy website that some teenager came up with and thought, wouldn't it be cool if I made up some information? We're going directly to the sources. Most of my work was taken from the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, and now the WHO. They have printed for your inspection all the information that you need to know that they are actually weaponizing vaccines. Their agenda is to wipe out human beings. And if I can, you know, don't let me talk too long. Let me explain it to you from my own personal point of view. My body and my life and my ability to work was damaged from industrial chemical exposure. Doctors ignored me. I appealed to Social Security. And Social Security, when you actually read the laws, my friends, and of course these aren't laws, this is rules of the administrative state, they amortize people as if they were machines that you're doing a tax deduction on. If you have such and such disease, then you only have 20% diminished capacity, therefore you should be able to work. If you have such and such disease, then you have this capacity, and therefore you should still be able to work. They look at you as if you were a battery, and unless your battery is run down and dead, they are not there to help you. So you are what I call a slave work unit, there to serve the state, and this is why they treat you like this. And if you respond, folks, as a slave work unit, you will be treated as a slave work unit. And what I try to do is empower American citizens to realize that the Constitution calls every man and woman in the United States a sovereign, which literally means you are a king and a queen and a power unto yourself. The state is there to serve you. You are not there to serve the state. Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
Okay, and as long as you brought up the administrative state, I want to recommend to the listeners to go to drcrowley.com. I have a number of MP3 files on my website. One of them is listed in red. It is called The Administrative State. It's an interview that I did with a man by the name of Ralph Winterod in Alaska, who has been studying this for many years. And as it turns out, back in the time of FDR's New Deal, the corrupt Congress actually created this administrative state. It is the state under which all of these alphabet agencies exist: FEMA, Homeland Security, CPS, which steals children from families. All of these different alphabet agencies are under the administrative state. They are outside the Constitution. They are all illegal. And once you start, you know, opening up these doors and looking for reasons why are these things happening, the answers are there. As Patrick said, these documents from the World Homicide Organization are truly amazing. They don't talk about vaccines in here. They talk about viruses. But you see, when you use the word vaccine, what is a vaccine? It's a vial of viruses. So as you read these documents, it's just like, you know, the Nazi scientists, Dr. Mengele and company, documented everything they did. The World Health Organization does the same thing. As a matter of fact, the last sentence of the introductory paragraph for memorandum number one says, when antibody attaches to these antigens in the presence of complement, the cells are destroyed. So as Patrick said, what they're outlining here is how they can have this three-prong approach where the final act that they do is to activate the complement system in your body, which is part of the immune system, which unleashes a torrent of all kinds of chemicals that actually start the destruction of tissues and inflammatory reaction. And basically what happened with the Spanish flu was that the people drowned on their own blood. They started bleeding and having all kinds of what's called exudation of fluids from their lung, and they drowned on their own fluid. Now, just to make matters more obvious, if you go to PBS.org, that's publicbroadcastingsystem.org, you can order a DVD, a documentary called Killer Flu. And in this documentary, they interview this totally mad scientist by the name of Jeffrey Toffenberger, who worked for the Army Institute of Pathology, and a few years back was actually sent to Alaska to dig up dead bodies of people that had died of the 1918 flu because they were pretty much frozen. So they knew they could reconstitute the virus. They could take the lungs of these people. And they did, and they brought those lungs back here, and they got the viruses out of the lungs, and they regrew them, and they did the DNA coding on it. They basically broke it down to its DNA structure and then recreated it. And this is how they're now going to make this pandemic flu vaccine that they're going to be giving this fall basically cause the same thing that happened in 1918. And this is why they're comparing it to 1918, because they know exactly what's going to happen. And I just want to also mention this Saturday on my show on republicbroadcasting.org at 3 p.m. Eastern Time is probably going to be one of the most important shows that's ever been on the Internet, which is the only place you can get, you know, the true news. I'm going to be interviewing a journalist by the name of Jane Burgermeister from Austria, who has done an amazing thing in creating a criminal complaint against Baxter International in particular. Baxter International, which, by the way, Obama owns stock in, released 72 kilograms of bird flu virus, live bird flu virus, to Europe a few months ago. And this is how they tried to start the pandemic. Unfortunately for them, some of the labs that they released the virus to, they were supposed to be getting the regular flu, but they had bird flu mixed into it, 72 kilograms. You can imagine how much virus that is. Some of the labs actually figured out that it was bird flu, and it was picked up by some of the international press, especially the Canadian press, and they released this information to the world. This is how they tried to start the pandemic. Once this had got out into the international press that Baxter had done this, they had to change their plan, because they've been talking for a long time about how the bird flu was going to cause the next pandemic. It was just not a matter of if, but when. So when Baxter was discovered to have done this criminal act of genocide, they had to, you know, switch it over to swine flu. So that's the reason for the name change, in my opinion. But Jane Burgermeister has come up with this amazing criminal complaint. She has filed it in Austria. Many people are now downloading this document and filing it in their individual countries or jurisdictions, especially in this country, the United States, from which most of this evil emanates. And I'm going to be interviewing Jane. She's going to be talking about what she's doing and the response she's getting from that criminal complaint, because they're actually now starting to pay attention to it. Patrick's going to be on the show also talking about these WHO documents, because the WHO documents show us proof that this was their plan, that they were figuring out back in 1972. How can we create this monster that will cause this death and destruction? And Patricia Jordan, the veterinarian that Patrick mentioned, is also going to be on the show, because all of us working together, it's truly amazing with all of our different backgrounds and our research abilities and synchronicities. I mean, somebody up there apparently wants us to get the truth together, because as we compare notes and share information, amazing things are coming out. And that's why I want as many people as possible to hear that show and to tell others about it, because, you see, we have a chance to stop this. Once we go on the offensive, you see, one of my opinions in terms of why we have become slaves to the degree where we have, where we're not the land of the free and the brave, we're the land of the fee and the slave, is because we've let them do this to us. Most of these laws that they're passing, the Homeland Security and the Model State Emergency Powers Act and all these different things, they are totally unconstitutional. They have no right to be doing these things to us. And what we have to do is stand up and say, no, no, you're not going to kill me with your needle. Because what people have to start thinking of is a vaccine needle. Is like if they took a six-shooter or an Uzi, depending on how many viruses they're injecting into you. It's the same thing. If they came to your door with an Uzi and said, the government says we have to shoot you with this gun, would you just, you know, take it? No. You have to start thinking in those terms when they come at you with a needle, because as Patrick said, you have no idea what's in that needle. And once you start reading documents like these two WHO memoranda, you realize what their intention really is. And so people have to become sovereigns. They have to take their power back. And I'm not promoting revolution, but rather an evolution of consciousness, the power of saying no. That's what we all have to do. And the good news is, as I said, people are waking up, and this show that we're going to be doing this Saturday is really going to be very important in bringing it all together. Patrick and I are also on another show on Friday nights called the Marines Disquisition, where we're speaking to the military all over the world. And we're letting the military know what's going on, because, of course, they are probably going to be one of the main ways that they use the different forces, police forces, sheriffs, and military, to try to force the people into submission to the inoculation. What's really disgusting is that the military themselves have been used as experimental guinea pigs for years. The military is one of the main places that they use to experiment with these deadly vaccines. As a matter of fact, almost immediately after the WHO declared a pandemic six level, I got a report from MarketWatch, which is basically, you know, something that people that are investors in the stock market get, and they were telling their investors that this company, Vical, was going to be starting experiments on the Navy with a swine flu vaccine. And people have no idea when they sign up for the military. We could get into another whole discussion about these fake wars to begin with. But how does that work, that you sign up to, quote-unquote, serve your country, and all of a sudden you're being used as an experimental animal to test vaccines on? And it's not a matter to test the vaccines to see if they work, quote-unquote, because the vaccines don't work, except for to cause death and disease.
How many people I remember going back several decades when they were publicly announcing, you know, how they were going to have to, the world was going to become overpopulated in a certain period of time, and that we really needed to sit down and figure out how we were going to knock back the population, and yet we've kind of dissociated from the fact that there were people that actually did sit down and do that.
Well, yes, and I want to comment on that, because this whole overpopulation thing is such a scam to begin with. You see, there are so many technologies that have been available for a very long time, especially something called Tesla technology. Nikola Tesla was a genius, an inventor that was around also 100 years ago, and he created a tower in Long Island that was capable of giving energy to the entire United States for free, without electrical wires. And the bankster J.P. Morgan made sure that that was, you know, basically put out of business. All of his research was eventually destroyed. And instead, they promoted this Edison guy who came up with the idea of the incandescent light bulb and using electricity, because that went along with their agenda, because they could charge for that. And there's so many ways. I mean, just like they're doing genetically modified food as a way to make people sick and inject viruses into the food and do all kinds of things of that nature, there are positive technologies that could be used to make superfoods, very nutritious foods that would keep people healthy. And, of course, one of the main reasons we have overpopulation in the quote-unquote third world countries is because these people, they end up having multiple children because the death rate is so high. You know, they have no idea who's going to even survive. It's a matter of truly educating people, making them productive citizens. If people are productive citizens and they're healthy, you know, they're not going to have herds of children. They're just not going to do that because, you know, the plan is to have a sustainable family and to allow that family to continue on. If every couple only has, you know, two children, basically they're just replacing themselves. I mean, that's the only thing that really needs to be done. If you want to do something along the lines of encouraging people to not have more than two children or making them be taxed at a high rate, you know, there's different things like that they could do. But instead they have decided to commit mass homicide. That is the solution that they've come up with because what the powers that be that are in control of all these polluting technologies like gas and oil and things of that nature, they make a lot of money off it. And so they would prefer to make their money, destroy humanity, and just have a small group of slave work units left to serve them.
Well, yeah, and where you're coming from, you really have to start studying their own work.
I mean,
because every bit of it, what we're saying here, it sounds really absurd, but you really have to sit down and start reading what they have written themselves.
Yeah.
And it goes back several centuries. I mean, this isn't something that just started yesterday. This has been planned out for a long time.
Patrick's excellent book goes into that timeline in great detail. And once again, I just want to point out, because I'm sure some of the listeners, if they've never heard my information before, because I've been on Melody's show in the past, I'm sure this sounds very shocking to your conscience. And so you may choose not to believe it. And what I tell people is don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself, because just like Melody said, you can find this information. Like I said, Henry Kissinger wrote Memorandum 200 talking about population reduction as a national security issue. It's not that they're going to, you know, come in like a fatherly advisor and say, look, people, we have too many people, we're making too much garbage, we have to decrease the population. They're going to find ways to commit mass murder. And there's been various of these minions, as I call them, that have made certain statements. Like I remember Prince Philip apparently some time ago made a comment, something to the effect that he would like to come back as a virus and, you know, destroy the population, things of that nature. These are the kinds of things that these people, you know, discuss.
Okay, I need to say that you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody on KHEN, LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, community-supported radio. And we're streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any of the past programs of Truth Quest, they're available at www.givemesometruth.info or linked from the khen.org website. And my guests this evening are Dr. Rebecca Carley and Patrick Jordan, and we're talking about vaccines and some of the eugenics programs that are being
perpetrated.
Mm-hmm. Can I ring in here?
Go ahead.
Is there a topic that you'd like to cover, Melody?
I really like, I mean, when I, one of your most, programs that brought up really rung a bell with me was when you were talking about Del Calvo's work, or Delgado.
Delgado. Patrick, go into that.
And if you don't mind, let me just recap a few of Dr. Carley's points.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I'll launch right back into Delgado. One thing that I always forget to do is, and Delgado is a good segue for this. I've been trying to reverse engineer the mind control that they have on Americans especially, there is no Santa Claus, folks. Okay? That is an anti-psychological warfare operations phrase that I actually need to sign on the radio with, beginning every time I talk. I usually forget to do that. What we're talking about is the absolute truth, and exactly like Dr. Carley says, you don't need to believe us. There is no Santa Claus. You do not need to believe in anything that we say. We provide the documentation directly from these organizations, directly from the sources, primary source material. You can verify this stuff. Okay, so let's talk about when they started in earnest to actually destroy the population. The UN, the World Health Organization, your best friends of Nixon and Kissinger, were all sitting down and plotting and planning while there were conferences run by NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, to figure out the best way to make an anti-fertility vaccine around 1972 and later. 1972, folks. This is the same year that these WHO memos were coming out. And what happened was, in 1993, and then later in 1994, the country of Nicaragua, then Mexico and the Philippines, discovered, I think it was the missionaries that caught this, women were having stillbirths or aborting their pregnancies after a tetanus vaccine. And so these conscientious people took the tetanus vaccines to independent laboratories, and what they found was, and sorry to throw big words at you, human chorionic gonadotropin, which could never, in any conceivable way, in any incarnation of any universe, ever appear in a tetanus vaccine. It is impossible for it to be there. If it was a tetanus vaccine.
Right.
And while you're at it, why don't you get into some of the contents of some of these vaccines in the first place?
Okay. Let me finish this thought.
Okay.
And so the whole idea was is they purposefully put in something that would cause abortion and eliminate the fertility in the women of three sovereign countries. Okay? So this goes beyond borders. This is not just America. This is the entire world that they're targeting. And another thing that Dr. Carley brought up was the military. The military is being given experimental, and I use that word in quotes, vaccines. And if our military is being disabled or killed by vaccines, and they are dropping dead from these things, folks, who's going to defend us? Okay? That's a very serious question that you need to be asking. Not just internally inside your head, you need to be asking the power brokers, who's going to defend us if you continue to kill off our soldiers? Well, what's in vaccines is actually part of a cartoon that I did for Dr. Carley. She likes to call doctors mosquitoes in white coats. So I drew a picture of a mosquito, a man-sized mosquito in a white coat with a syringe, perched on a toilet and drawing up toilet water, and that was part of their vaccine production area. Because what everybody needs to understand is there's a lot of talk about contaminated vaccines. That's an oxymoron. You can't have a contaminated vaccine because a vaccine is nothing but pure poison. And whatever they put in there, like Dr. Carley preaches, is going to be injected into your body, therefore it will bypass the immunoglobulin A, the IgA defense mechanism of your digestive tract, and it will be tagged as an antigen. And so let's get back to the troops. The Department of Defense denied, even when presented with outside evidence from an independent lab, that they ever experimented on soldiers with squalene. That's an oil-based adjuvant, and an adjuvant is something that makes the vaccine work harder and better. The DOD, the Department of Defense, denied it until the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, wiggled it in their face, and they said, yeah, well, we probably did. And all these servicemen had autoimmunity. Their bodies were destroying themselves, okay? This was done to them without their knowledge, without their consent. Now, any other situation, in any other universe, at any other time, any human being would say that's an act of war. I don't care who it was that you think is in your government, and most of the government that you think you have are agencies, and they're unconstitutional. This was an act of aggression against sovereigns of the United States of America, okay? And so what's in vaccines? Stuff that will hurt you. And it really doesn't matter what they put in there, because when it is injected into your body, it is recognized as an invader, and your body will mount a response to it. Like Dr. Carley was saying earlier, you're going to get your peanut allergy, because what did they do? They used another oil. Squalene was an oil. Peanut oil has been used as an adjuvant in vaccines. What are you going to have an allergy to? Peanuts, of course.
So in other words, when they inject these into the bloodstream directly, that makes you hypersensitive to that material.
Well, what actually happens, according to the textbooks that I've read, and Dr. Carley has a very, very important and powerful viewpoint on this, you're not supposed to inject it directly into the bloodstream. You're supposed to give it subcutaneously or into the muscle. And what that does is it gets it into the lymph system. But the lymph system is directly tied to the circulatory system, the system that actually carries the blood. But the most important point that Dr. Carley brings out is when you put that needle in and you cause damage, you're getting down into capillary beds, and it is getting into the blood.
Yes.
And so it is a blood pollution.
Well, if I could just mention the document on my website, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, which I wrote 12 years ago and I update on a regular basis, explains basically what Patrick's saying. The thing that's important to realize is that the way our bodies were created was to have this very important immunoglobulin, secretory IgA. It's in the upper respiratory and GI tracts. When you're exposed to a bug, a bacteria, a virus, whatever, usually it's through the mouth. You know, little children are putting dirty hands in their mouth. You're getting coughed on. You're getting sneezed on. This is the first part of the immune system that's supposed to be activated, and this causes a proper cascade leading to lifelong natural immunity, where your body develops not only an ability to recognize this pathogen in the future, but allows it to be eliminated from the body. When you inject it into your body through a needle, you bypass the secretory IgA. By putting these adjuvants in there, you're actually making the antibody production mode go into hyperdrive, which when you produce antibodies alone, it does nothing. The whole purpose of antibodies is to surround any thing that's not you, especially, you know, bacteria and viruses. And this gives the cell-mediated immune system an opportunity to recognize the pathogen and to deal with it in whatever way and eventually push it out or kill it. The cell-mediated part of the immune system is what is basically paralyzed with traditional vaccines. However, these WHO documents show that they now have a way to activate the cell-mediated response in such a way as to make it go into hyperdrive, produce all of these inflammatory chemicals that can actually destroy the cells. So they're playing around with both aspects now, and I'm going to have to update that paper with this new information when I get a chance. But the other thing I wanted to mention about the squalene, which is very important, squalene is something that occurs in the body, in our cells. What they did to the military was inject them with an adjuvant that actually is part of them. So once you develop antibodies to squalene, those antibodies can attack any part of your cell. it's just like what Patrick was talking about with the HCG, the human chorionic gonadotropin. Once these women were injected with that hormone, they developed antibodies against the hormone, and so once they became pregnant and their body started making this hormone, the vaccine caused the antibodies to attack the hormone, and it caused them to abort their children. Now, of course, these women were not told that this is what's happening, and I want to get us back to Delgado because that's an important subject, but let me just say, one of the most important finds that Patrick has found, and he's found a number of them, was these books by NATO, their Life Sciences Division. What a joke. The first one that he found that he told me about was this book, Immunological Adjuvants and Vaccines. And in that book, written in the early 80s, they talk about the fact that the aluminum in vaccines, which is another adjuvant, that they've known for years that this is what causes the production of IgE. IgE is the antibody of allergy and anaphylactic shock. So they've known for all of these years that all of these life-threatening allergies like peanut allergies, etc., were caused by aluminum. And the other thing, the other very important book that he found in the same series was The Biology of Aggression. So I would like to turn it back over to Patrick now because that gets into the whole Delgado thing, and this is where we truly enter the Twilight Zone.
Okay, I don't have the theme music for you, but hold on to your pantyhose, folks. If we go back to ancient Sumeria, it is my contention that these overlords of humanity realized that they could control human beings just as they could control a herd. And isn't it funny that people that talk about conspiracy theories always refer to the other people that do their bidding as the sheep? Well, if we take this paradigm and then we fast forward 6,000 years, then we have science. And the same players are at work in that they want to exert what I call centralized herd control. And what better way to do it than through technology? Because that way you can have somebody that is weak of stature and weak of will pushing a button and then controlling anybody, and they could be like 10 times your superior in intellect and strength, but with the push of the technological button, you can control them and you can control the entire herd. So there's a fellow that actually was given a medical doctor's degree from Spain. His name was Jose Delgado, and I do not accord people like this the honors of calling them a doctor or a medical doctor. They're just pure demons, and I can talk about the metaphysics of demons also with respect to the injections of vaccines. I think we should get into that at some point. But to stay on the concept of mind control, this demon Delgado was experimenting with implanting wire electrodes into the brains of all sorts of animals. And he actually graduated up to the point where he was doing it into humans. And to put it into just a rough paraphrase, they discovered that electronically you could puppeteer a human being. You could actually make them go through motor functions. You could make them go through emotional changes through the flip of a switch and the application of a current at specific parts of the brain. And at the end of his book that he wrote in 1969, folks, so what I'm trying to impress on you is these people have had a long head start on us. We are only just discovering the tip of the iceberg now and uncovering what they have done, what they are doing, and we're trying to use that to predict what they will do. Back in 1969, they were able to control human beings, their emotions and their motions.
Okay, now, before you get too far on that, I just want to throw out there now that that has to go back to the intent that's involved here. Because, I mean, there's many people out there going to realize that they were doing experimentation and that sort, telling us that it was for much more pragmatic things that supposedly to help humanity.
Well, if I could just interject here, because this is a real sore spot with me. Of course they're going to tell us things like that. They do admit in documents, if you know where to find them, and this NATO series that Patrick uncovered is a gold mine for such a thing. But what is one of the main things that humans have allegedly been given? Free will. Free will. So how can they maintain that controlling the behavior, and especially this one book that he found, Biology of Aggression, where they're actually figuring out how to flip that switch? They can create a monster, a serial killer, by flipping a switch one way, or they can take away your aggression, which, as Patrick explained, that's one of the protective mechanisms that we have. You know, if somebody comes to kill and destroy your child, it's a protective mechanism of a mother to actually not want that to happen and be aggressive. And he actually came up with another amazing correlate of that, that the act of breastfeeding actually elicits that kind of a protective mechanism. There's a much stronger bonding with the child. And that's another thing they've tried to do over the years, is try to get women to stop breastfeeding. An article that I had from a couple of years ago from the EPA was actually telling mothers that your breast milk is now so toxic that you're actually poisoning your baby by giving breast milk. But I want Patrick to continue with this, because, you see, you could get involved in so many sidebars. Web is so big. But go ahead, Patrick.
It's true. You can see how we almost missed Delgado by what we're talking about. What Delgado called for at the end of his book in 1969 was for a NASA, you know, the space program, a space program-style investigation into how to control the human mind electronically. Because what he had graduated from is these cumbersome devices that were literally screwed to the heads of his animals. He used cats, he used chimpanzees, he used just about anything that he could get a hold of to implant electrodes in. And he graduated from these constraining laboratory-grade experiments to radio-controlled units that were mounted on the heads of chimpanzees that were allowed to roam freely on an island. And what he had discovered is that in situations that normally would provoke aggression in the laboratory because there was no escape, these primates would actually run away. Animals would tend to avoid confrontation just like human beings. And so what I began to realize from Delgado's work and then the extensive work in the Biology of Aggression is that human beings are generally passive creatures unless an outside influence is exerted on them to behave in an aggressive or violent manner. And there's something really spooky that we're uncovering, folks, and I'm digressing from the whole mind control thing because it's a kind of a segue. Dr. Patricia Jordan, the vet, who is no relation of mine, has just unearthed the most incredible find on what they're doing with rabies.
Yes.
Yeah.
The rabies virus, I would like to outline right now, fits the bill of the ancient Babylonian concepts of demons. In 5,000 years ago, the ancients believed that, and they actually named diseases after demons. The demon would be named fever. The demon would be named the chills or the ache, okay? And you can make a one-to-one correlation with viruses and diseases and the ancient concept of demons. And if you consider this white-coated mosquito, as Dr. Carley likes to call them, approaching you with a vaccine and a needle, they're trying to inject or possess you with this demon. And what we found is that in Thomas Jefferson University, a fellow named Kaprowski, who figures highly into these WHO memos that we were referring to earlier, and another fellow named Schultz are working extensively with rabies, and they've got rabies to the point where it's like a 93 or 94% kill rate. And so what that means is, if you study the literature, rabies was barely ever a public health problem until Pasteur got involved. Then it became cross-special. It meant you could jump from animal to animal and man to man because they were manipulating it in the lab. And any more now, they've got a strain of rabies that can kill 93, 94% of the time. Why would you do that unless you were creating a weapon? Why are they allowed to do that in the United States of America?
And, Patrick, I want to mention that they've now got it to the point where you don't have to be bitten.
Exactly.
It's now transmissible through the air. And this is very important. I just want to mention the movie Quarantine. If you haven't seen that movie, folks, because there's more truth in the movies now than there is in the news, you got to see that movie Quarantine, because that movie is basically what they're doing with rabies. And if that's not a demon virus, because what does that virus do? It kills. But before it kills, it causes the person or animal infected with it to become a ghoul, to basically have this bloodlust. And this is another aspect to what they're doing, and they're now putting the rabies virus in vaccines as well. Continue, Patrick.
Sure. And the reason I interjected that is to give you a little background of just what the ancients thought were these demons. And if you understand anything about possession, like being possessed by a spirit or a demon, the old texts will tell you that the demon has to enter through a portal. And that means, like, you know, the Disney concept of eating the poison apple. It has to go through the portal of the mouth, or it has to go in the nose or the ears, or it has to get some kind of entrance into the body. Well, that's exactly what a vaccine needle does. And so what we're seeing again is history and science colliding here, and no matter how you want to interpret it, it's the same results. And the reason I brought up rabies is because if we continue our talk about Delgado and the biology of aggression, this NATO conference, all the participants wanted to be able to control aggression. Now, aggression is your own. You are a sovereign person. Most of the manifestations of aggression are necessary for the survival of the organism. Now, why would you want anybody to control that from the outside? And then when we factor in this biological aspect of they have created a rabies that has a 90% kill rate, but that means that they can also genetically engineer a rabies that may not kill, but may make somebody that is constantly enraged, and rage, by the way, is the French term for rabies. And so we're looking at genetic manipulation of the human genome, and if you understand anything in the biology of aggression, All the papers, they were individually submitted papers, and the book was, you know, several hundred pages long. They all talked about one thing, how to turn on and turn off a particular function. Now, in electronics, that's called toggling. It's like flipping a switch. And so what they were doing, in my estimation, and you need to realize, folks, they're not going to put in print that anybody can buy off the shelf, oh, this is how to take over the world, or do this and you can kill people instantly. They will write it in nice, descriptive scientific terms, and they will give you everything you need to know that if you're looking for it, you will see, oh, gee, yeah, that's a good way to kill people, or that's a good way to throw the switch to turn rage on, and that's a good way to turn the switch to throw it off. And that's exactly what they did throughout this book. They gave a series of switches on how to turn on and off emotions, and especially aggression. And another thing that I would like to bring out, I like to hammer this home to anybody that will listen to me. Very recently, I fell across a document published by the Rockefeller University that said they had found a molecular switch in this organism called a bacteriophage. It is a virus that infects bacteria. And this molecular switch allows them to turn genes on and off. And when I read that, again, they are not going to publish what you can do with that. But I've been doing this for so long that I read into this that if you can turn genes on and off with this molecular switch, if you were to make a vaccine that you wanted to target one race, pick any race you don't like, target it to that genome, use your molecular switch, and you can kill all the people of that particular race. If you wanted to eliminate one person, get a sample of their DNA, find out where that molecular switch is, and throw the switch. This is too much power for any human being to have, and it's published. You can find it. It's out there.
Patrick, if I could just interject. Patrick did a three-part series on the biology of aggression on my show, and he also makes available a CD which has all three of the shows with the transcript. So I encourage all of you that want to learn about this to contact Patrick and get that. It is unbelievable, the research this man has done. I have that book, Biology of Aggression. I have not been able to get through the whole thing. I have so much on my plate right now, it's unbelievable. But he has spent hours and hours and hours reading this information, and he put together these three amazing shows, and you can learn about this for yourself. You can also order the book. It's very expensive. All of these book, NATO books are very expensive, but he gives you the ISBN number. You can check it out for yourself. And this is what people have to realize. As he said, they tell us what they're doing, but they write it in such a way. They're not going to write and say, this is how we're going to decrease 80% of the human race, things of that nature. This is how we're going to create serial killers, or, you know, create people that will stand by and let their children be taken from them or be killed with chemotherapy or whatever the case may be, stand by and do nothing. They don't come out and say it in that way. But when you read things with a mind knowing what's actually happening, you can see how this is how they tell each other. This is what we've got now, folks. Let's bring it to the next level. And this is what science is all about. It's completely corrupted. It's straight from hell. And it's so important. This is a matter of preserving the human race for all of us to realize not only that this is what's happening, but we're paying for this with our tax dollars. When you realize that you're working 5 or 6 months of the year for the extinction of your, you know, family and all of its progenitors, that's pretty scary stuff. Go ahead, Patrick.
Okay. What do you say after that?
Well, if you could continue to go on with the biology of aggression aspect a little bit more. This guy Delgado, I agree with you. This man is a demon.
And describe a little bit how he was going about working with this rabies virus.
Okay, Delgado himself, to my knowledge, wasn't working with the rabies.
That was the other one with Patricia.
I had mixed like three separate lines of thought to synthesize what's coming down the pike. Delgado was working with the implants in the brains, and then the biology of aggression worked with multiple ways, folks, of controlling people. Drug intervention causing damage in the brain, and what you need to understand is, hello, autism, okay, when you get a vaccine, you get brain damage. That's a way of creating a behavior pattern within a group of people. Okay.
Well, Patrick, I just want to inject one very important thing. Folks, all of you need to order the following book, Vaccinations, Social Violence, and Criminality by Harris Coulter. You can get it from thinktwice.com because Dr. Coulter is a genius that actually wrote this book that explains how vaccination damage to certain parts of the brain that are involved in aggression and violence are actually causing these behaviors. So I just want to mention that. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, see, that's so important. I love the way that Dr. Carl and I just feed off of each other. Are you getting the picture, folks? We're talking about one mechanism. Get a vaccine, get a disease. But you would think, well, if you got a vaccine, you'd get one disease, because usually one thing leads to one thing. But what we're doing is we're showing you that vaccines can actually cause crime. Because why? It damages the brain. It breaks down these control mechanisms that actually damp aggression when it's the right time to damp aggression, to be able to control it yourself. Okay? And so when we talk about diabetes and heart disease and stroke and autoimmunity and autism and crime, we can point it to one thing and we can give you the physiological mechanisms of how that works. Okay, so we keep jumping topics. We've gone from Delgado and the wire implantation in the brain, the biology of aggression, where they tried in laboratories every possible way they could to manipulate lab animals, let's just say that in quotes. And then we've gone to the labs of Thomas Jefferson University, where they're modifying rabies for one purpose, folks, just to weaponize it. There's no reason why you should be playing with that organism. And then the next step in this evolution, if you want to call it that, would be to control people without touching them. And let's enter the age of digital television. Did you ever wonder why the government would pay you to get a converter box? Have you ever wondered why Bill Clinton sold the airwaves, which again is illegal, sold the airwaves to the highest bidders so that they could install digital transmissions? It's because, to my understanding, and I'm still working out the details on this, instead of wires implanted in the brain, they actually found the frequencies at which certain structures in the brain operate. And if you beam these particular frequencies to a person, you can elicit the same muscle response and the same emotional response as when the wires were implanted, but now all you need is a radio transmitter.
Okay, now,
so I do not have a digital TV in my house.
Okay, but aggression, the only way I would see that it would serve their purpose would be essentially to have us go at each other.
What better way, what more economical way than to have the slave work units wipe out the slave work units? Because let's look at it, bullets cost money.
And I just want to chime in on that. See, there's two aspects to it. You can turn it off. You can have a government that's basically taking off their masks and saying, we're going to start to commit genocide now. We're going to take away your guns, blah, 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 and you're going to sit by and do nothing. Or you can activate it, and these experiments are especially being done in the military. How often are we hearing about soldiers that come home and wipe out their families and things of that nature? So there's many aspects to all of this.
And can I jump in here for a
second?
Go
ahead.
Melody, you bring up a really good point, because another very scary part of Delgado's work was they found a particular section of the brain that if they stimulated it, you could walk up to the person that was being controlled and slap them in the face, and they would not even react. And so you can turn off aggression, and this is what we're talking about. It's a switch. You can turn it off or you can turn it on like a play toy.
Right. And I just want to mention quickly, because I see we're running out of time so fast, as we always do on these shows, but this gets also into other areas. There's also something called the Special Virus Cancer Program. I've sent Patrick and Patricia Jordan, the veterinarian, just 1 year's worth of documents I have on that, which is about 400 pages, showing how every veterinary institution, medical institution, pharmaceutical company, that's another thing they're doing, is playing around with viruses that cause cancer. And this brings us to the Gardasil vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to highlight that, because when Patrick was saying before to go to the physician's death reference and look up any vaccine, and you will see that no vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer. The reason for that is because they know they cause cancer, and I explain how that happens in my paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction. But once again, they've brought it to the next level, and now they're making viruses that cause cancer. Two of the main viruses that do that are the hepatitis B viruses, which can cause liver cancer, and the HPV virus, which causes cervical cancer. And even the Gardasil vaccine, which is intentionally, allegedly created to protect young girls from getting cervical cancer, even that vaccine, it says it's never been tested to see if it causes cancer. And it was really amazing. I did a show last Sunday that will be on my website soon, based out of Jamaica. For some reason, Jamaica is the only place where I can get a white coat to come on the air with me through this one excellent host who finds these people who are so stupid they don't know what they're going to be walking into. But they're now going to be using the children of Jamaica as experimental guinea pigs for a new HPV vaccine that's being developed by Merck Sharp and Dohme. It's in phase 3 clinical trials. In other words, they're still using the people as lab rats, but the government of Jamaica has signed on. I'm sure they're getting lots of millions of dollars from Merck Sharp and Dohme to use their young girl citizens as lab rats to test this vaccine, telling them that it's mandatory. But these are the kinds of things they're also doing. I mean, we could talk for months about this subject, Melody. That's how big this is. That's why I myself have been working on a vaccine book for probably 2 years now, and I can't get it done because, especially through Patrick and Dr. Jordan, the holes keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Just finding their own documentation of what they're doing, it's unbelievable. This is a world, it's straight out of the X-Files in terms of what they're doing. And that's the main message I want to get people to realize. You need to get Patrick's book. You need to get his Biology of Aggression series. He gives all the documentation. You can check it out for yourself. And that's what you have to do, is start educating yourself, because this information will save your life.
So, Patrick, are you also saying that in these some of Delgado's work, you know, he was working with the chemical makeup of aggression and stimulus? What about what is the term I want now? I just left my mind.
I hate that. Well, let me just say something about that. There's many aspects to it. There's different parts of the brain that can be stimulated or suppressed through electrochemical means. They can do it, you know, they used to do lobotomies where they would stick an ice pick through the nose. They don't need to do that anymore. That can be done with chemicals now.
Right.
Almost every single drug, not just psychiatric drugs, but almost every single drug that is on the market also has mental and psychiatric effects. They can do it through chemicals.
How about with
fluoride in the water?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, fluoride, and aren't a number of those SSRIs fluoride-based?
Yes.
Okay. So,
yes.
Melody, we had exchanged some emails earlier. I have to budget my time. I have to focus my research on certain things, but I have curiosities about other things, and I always wondered if there was still cocaine in Coca-Cola. That, you know, that just because they say they took it out, how do you know? And again, I can't implicate Coca-Cola because I haven't seen any studies on it, but it was Germany that I sent you a link to. Germany had banned Red Bull because they found trace amounts of cocaine in it. And what the Biology of Aggression showed, and you'll hear me drone on and on about their findings about apomorphine, okay, because that was the drug that they used, and they said they had to have it in very low doses, microtitrations, for it to achieve the desired effect. And when we're looking at the masses, the populations that we are claiming are these sheep and are mind-controlled, if you're powering back these soft drinks, which, of course, you didn't make yourself, you have no idea what's in them, if there are low doses of these control chemicals in there, you will be susceptible to whatever's on the television. And let me talk to you just about television from the 1930s. It has the ability, through flashing lights and pulsing sound, to hypnotize. 80% of the people on this planet are able to be hypnotized in under 6 minutes with flashing lights and pulsing sound. They've known about that for millennia, okay? They've used it to induce trance state. And so what we're looking at is we've got these combinations of people sucking soft drinks, and Dr. Carley likes to bring up the aspartame, and the flashing lights of just television before it even got digitized, and we've got fluoride in the water, we've got brain damage from vaccines, and it makes you wonder how anybody can actually stand up in the morning.
Well, and I also want to bring up, I also like to study language, and what is the origin of television? Tell lie vision,
yeah.
Telling lies to the vision. Okay, so what better way to do it as you're sitting there sucking up your Diet Coke and you're watching television and they're telling you about Osama bin Laden and his box-cutting terrorists who were able from a cave in Afghanistan to, you know, figure out a way to bring down the World Trade Center and things of that nature. It's truly amazing. See, they're using all of these technologies now to render the sheep into a hypnotic state. And then we have all of these different holidays like Memorial Day and 4th of July. Everybody gets out their flags. You know, they're sending off their fireworks. They're celebrating their liberty and freedom. Well, give me a break, folks. Have you read the Patriot Act? Have you read Homeland Security's mission statement? Have you checked out your Model State Health Emergency Powers Act? This country is the best example of a group of sheep who have been led down a road to believe that they are the land of the free and the home of the brave, and they are the land of the fee and the home of the slave, and they have no rights, and they're getting ready to take off their masks big time. This fall, and I predict it's going to be around September 9th, 999, which is ICD code 999, which is 666 upside down, I think that that's going to be the time when they actually start really pushing these vaccines. And you see, what's going to happen is people are going to start dropping like flies. And eventually, I'm sure people will realize that the vaccine is what's doing it. But at that point, they will have taken away all the guns. What are the people going to do? And that is why the next couple of months are the most critical time in human history,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Well, you know,
do something.
Even if they don't accomplish that at that point in time, if their incrementalism is continued, they're still achieving their goal if that's, you know, the eugenics program that they're,
yeah,
their ultimate plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a good point that even if people don't drop dead en masse, the vaccines, as we can demonstrate with the biology, the biochemistry, any one single vaccine will damage you. It is a death sentence. The ancient Taoists said that 120 is dying young, okay? So why would you put anything in your body that would make it attack itself and shorten your life? Any single vaccine is already a death sentence.
I totally concur. And actually, I also want to bring up, because the thought just came to me, of course the people are going to be dropping like flies. The deaths are going to be in the millions once they unleash this vaccine. How are the people going to learn about this? Through the mainstream media. Right. They're going to tell us about this on CNN. They're going to talk about this in all of the controlled news outlets. I don't think so. You see, so they're going to be able to pull this off and not tell people what's happening. They're not explaining to people even the consequences of vaccinations that are being given today. When I did this interview from Jamaica last Sunday, this minion for Merck Sharp and Dohme, GlaxoSmithKline, that was talking about this cervix vaccine. It's been tested around the world. She said there's not been a single side effect. Nobody's had any problems. And I'm like, well, excuse me, here's a news article from England that talks about young girls that are having strokes, getting Guillain-Barré syndrome, epilepsy, and are dying, and what is her answer? Well, there's no proof it's from the vaccine. You don't know if that would have happened to them anyways. So you see, they have so many neurolinguistic programs that they use to try to convince people that there's no cause and effect relationship, and this is what people have to also realize. As far as I'm concerned, science is totally corrupted. Statistics was invented to twist and spin the truth. And you have to, you know, basically ask yourself, If something is a toxic poison, I call vaccines a witch's brew. If it's a toxic poison, how can it be a good thing to inject into you? If somebody tells you these viruses are so bad that we don't want you to get a disease from them, but we've put five of them in a syringe, added a little mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, whatever, we're going to inject this into you to protect you. This is the biggest scam in history as far as I'm concerned. And I think it was Hitler that said, the bigger the lie, the more that you can get people to believe it. And vaccines are definitely an example of that.
And this even ties into a lot of other things like AIDS and things of that sort, correct?
Yes. Right. Created in the laboratory, yes.
And Melody, can I jump in here for a second?
Go ahead.
I was just laughing when Dr. Carly was talking about the special virus cancer program, and my first thought was Gardasil, and that's the next thing that she brought up. If you are aware of the ad campaign for Gardasil, they go, cancer is caused by a virus. Who knew?
And so they also say one less.
Yeah.
One less child, she's going to die or be infertile. Go ahead.
Okay. So who knew? I'm screaming at the television when, you know, before they switched to digital. I knew because I was doing my timeline in 1898. Okay. Listen, folks, I'll do the math for you because I've got a calculator right here. 111 years ago, they knew the viruses caused cancer. And so when you see an ad like that, somebody like me that's been immersed in this stuff, I'm thinking, who would even buy into that lie? Because right here in front of me, 1898, they knew through laboratory demonstrations that viruses cause cancer, and they're trying to promote now in 2000, that was, 2007, that they didn't know. Okay, like Dr. Carly says, this is the biggest lie in humanity. And if anybody is out there wondering when World War III is going to happen, I got news for you, folks. It has been happening. You are involved in it. If you got a vaccine, you have already been shot. And that is not an analogy. You have literally been shot and mortally wounded. World War III has already begun.
Well, look,
I totally agree, and I just want to mention one other thing quickly. And it's not even the viruses that cause the cancer, because as Patrick and Dr. Jordan and myself continue our research and read these massive documents that the three of us are uncovering within the Special Virus Cancer Program, and even in my notes from medical school, they have also learned that we have within our own genome certain virus counterparts that have been suppressed that are basically oncogenic viruses, in other words, cancer-causing viruses. So they're also working on ways to turn on those cancer-causing DNA and RNA cascades so that they can cause your own body to turn against itself. I mean, this, like I said, it's straight out of the X-Files. These mad scientists, the level of things that they're involved in, to any of you that have two working brain cells and you're not dying from some terrible disease, you need to, like, basically just be grateful that you have that ability, because it's truly amazing as to the ability of ourselves to fight off this evil. It's crystalline evil, as Patrick says.
This encompasses so much, and it's so broad and so wide. But, you know, I going back into my memory again, back into the 70s, I just really bring to mind the fact that they were really trying to pound down, you know, how we needed to control the population, and they had all these projections on what the populations were going to be in certain timelines, and also on the elderly, because they were addressing the elderly because they were terribly worried that, you know, they might live too long.
Can I address that, Dr. Carly, because I'd like to jump all over this.
Well, go ahead. I have something to say too, but go ahead.
Okay. Anybody that wants to contact me through my general portal, 55@gmail.com, or please stop at Dr. Carley's website and you can find out the link to my book and my mailing address. I've got 7 copies of Joe Spener's book left. And in Joe Spener's book, Rockefeller Regionalism, he has one little page in there, copied out of another book, that said you could take the entire population of the world, put them all in the state of Oregon, and every single man, woman, and child on this planet would have a 50 by 53 foot plot of land for themselves. And so what that demonstrated is, mathematically, not wishful thinking, that the world is not overpopulated and that there is no crisis, because they manage through crisis. And the whole elimination of the elderly is part of, if you study black magic, if you study the dark arts, Satanism's creed is good is evil and evil is good, and that's where I came up with Opposite Day. This is how these people live. And another creed of Satanism is to get rid of the useless eaters. That comes directly from from Satanism, okay? So the elderly are considered non-productive members of society.
Right. Whereas in history, they've been, considered as our elders, the wise ones, the ones that we look to. I mean, how many people have a grandmother in their family that tells them, you know, if you have a cold, you need to eat chicken soup and things of that nature? These are the people they're getting rid of. I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, the main way that they're taking out the elderly is through creating dementia, especially Alzheimer's disease, which is caused by aluminum and mercury and vaccines. They are actually now using euthanasia. You're not hearing about this, but I can tell you I get calls from nurses, mostly in the United States and Canada, at least one a week, that tells me they were, especially during the night shift, they are actually ordered to kill people, because they consider them, as Patrick said, useless eaters. Once their batteries run down and they're not, you know, working for the state, they have to be eliminated because they're getting Social Security. And, of course, that trust fund was stolen by Congress long ago. So it's much better to get them off the dole than to keep on sending them their checks. Because, you know, the Federal Reserve is printing out so much money, you know, their machine must be smoking by now. And this is a major thing that's going to happen with Obama's health care plan. As a matter of fact, I actually saw somebody on C-SPAN, a congressman, talk about how in England now they've actually started to talk about how they need to euthanize the elderly that have dementia because they're no longer protected citizens and they're basically, you know, taking up more of the economy than they're worth because, you know, they need all this quote-unquote care. Of course, you can reverse dementia with my protocol, but they're taking up all this care. And so it's much cheaper to kill them. They're actually stating this.
Well, they call that, don't they call that economy of scale?
Right.
Yeah.
But my point is, it's happening here now, folks. They are killing people every day. And it's very funny now. They've killed Michael Jackson. Of course, that was a major distraction for us. We could spend a couple of weeks, you know, watching the whole procession with that whole scam. We'll see what happens. We'll see if his white coat is actually charged with murder. It's funny how a doctor can kill somebody with a drug and all of a sudden it's just a side effect. You know, it's not murder. So all of these things are very important, and I know we're going to be doing another show with you, Melody. We could do shows every week until the end of time and not even uncover all the stuff that Patrick and I have learned from working with each other and also with Dr. Jordan. But, people, I just encourage you to check things out for yourself. It could save your life.
And, Patrick, do you have anything closing here on your comments?
No, that's perfect. Everything that she said.
Okay, and we are going to have them back again on the 21st, and where we can get into some of these other subjects a little bit further.
And I'm sorry, Melody, if I could just encourage your listeners, please email your questions to Melody. We love to answer questions. We love to answer your questions. So please email questions in the meantime so that we can answer what you want to know.
Okay, and that's khen.dj@gmail.com. khen.dj@gmail.com. And then you guys go ahead and give your the ways to contact you and your website again, Dr. Carley.
Well, my website is drcarley.com, drcarley.com. Patrick doesn't have his own website yet, but if you go to my website, right at the top of my website, there's information on how you can contact Patrick, how you can get his book on the serum sickness postulate. You can also order his biology regression series, although my webmaster can't even keep up with me at this point. She doesn't have that information up there yet. But you need to get this information, people. You need to educate everybody that you love and check things out for yourself. Because the good news is that these minions have taken off their masks now to the extent that we can prove their genocidal agenda. We can stop them. All we need to do is say no.
And again, I want to thank both of you for coming on the program, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okie doke.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.